Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Brian, and we're back with a new episode of Stream Close Up. Our guest this week is Malin Buska, award-winning star of stage and screen. Malin is currently earning rave reviews for her performance in the new Scandi-noir drama Advokaten, or The Lawyer, which is streaming on Viaplay. Malin co-stars opposite recent podcast guest Alexander Kareem. She plays Sarah Khalil, a troubled cop looking to avenge the murder of her parents. Some of you may know Malin from her turn in Bjorn Runge's Happy End, where she played Katrine, a role that earned her the Rising Star Award at the Stockholm Film Festival in 2011. The jury motivated that decision as follows, quote, "A young person's life choices are revealed with impressive precision. A person with what seems like a hard outer shell, but an inner frailty, is transformed before our eyes into someone who assumes a brave responsibility for her future life. Balanced on a knife's edge, this is beautifully and sensitively played by Malin Buska." Wow, talk about rave reviews. In 2013, Malin had a key role in Snabbakash Leave It Deluxe, or Fast Money, Life of Luxury, the follow-up to the smash hit Snabbakash. More recently, she starred in The Girl King, which is a retake of the 1933 classic Queen Christina, which starred the immortal Greta Garbo. For her performance, Malin won the Best Actress Award at the Montreal Film Festival. We'll get into all this and even hear a little bit about her upcoming UK TV series, A Discovery of Witches, which she's currently filming in Wales. And before we get to Malin, I'd just like to ask you to please spread the word about the podcast if you like what you're hearing. We appreciate your help. And to remind you that you can always reach out to us via Twitter at Stream Close-Up. All right, let's do it. In for her stream close-up, Malin Buska. Welcome, welcome to the show, Malin Buska.
Thank you very much.
Malin is out doing the work today, celebrating and promoting her latest project, Advokaten, which will premiere shortly on Viaplay. She's co-starring, carrying the weight, and has a very interesting character that she's driving there, Sarah Khalil.
Yes, that's
and
right.
Co-starring with Alexander Kareem. Yeah, we'll get back to all of this. You're here to talk about Advokaten, but as we like to do, we want to hear your story and find out how you got to Advokaten.
Right.
You're a Swedish woman from the Arctic Circle, mm-hmm. north of the Arctic Circle.
Yeah.
When you're growing up, how does storytelling come into your life? When do you feel that you want to be an actress, that you want to do this?
I think I understood that quite early on. I don't remember exactly a day. But I always had a passion for telling stories. And I also come from a culture when you are sitting down telling stories, like the older ones are doing it, the younger ones are doing it, want to like talk about the past or, you know, what happened and cultural stuff as well. And
hang on, they're making it sound like you're from a different time.
Yeah, but it was a bit different. You know, it's quite isolated up there. and was even more before. When I was a kid, we didn't have cell phones, we didn't have internet, you know, that kind of thing. And living in the woods and not, you know, if you're just going to sit and read a book and or if you wanted to go somewhere, it was quite pointless because the party was always 4 hours away. So that's the thing that I got from up there. I think it's some kind of concentration or... yeah.
Okay. Focus on storytelling, folklore somehow.
Yeah, exactly. And then I discover films, and I started out on stage with theater, and then I went over.
Where was that when you say you started out on stage? Is that school? Is that theater school?
No, I was in a play that was touring a bit. It was a Finnish and Swedish production. So we were touring around the whole, the northern part of Sweden and in Finland a bit.
Was it mixed language as well?
Yeah, it was.
That's fascinating. I've seen some things. And now you're in a mixed language production, Advokaten, full circle. Interesting.
Yeah.
So what was the production? Do you remember what was it?
It was about the Finnish winter war.
Okay, so the Russians are coming.
Yeah, exactly. And that was also a game that we were used to play when I was a kid. We didn't play that much with toys and stuff, but we were outside in the woods playing, you know, the Russians and the Finns and, you know.
We played cowboys and Indians when
exactly.
I was growing up, our version.
That was our cowboys and Indians, you know, in a way.
Heavy stuff, actually, for kids. So you then start a theater career. Was that something that you fell into? Did you chase that first role? How did that come about?
No, I got that role. And then I started to work with some other theaters, small, more political theater groups and stuff. And then I searched for the theater school, acting school. And I was like, if I'm not coming in now, I'm never going to search again. So I needed to come in, and I did. So I did that. And then, but I thought the school was quite focused on just stage acting. And to be an actor today is not just stage, it's TV, it's radio, it's films, you know.
Oh, so many things I want to ask. First of all, is this your character? Is that your nature? It's all or nothing. I'm in or I'm out. Is that the way you are in general?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Wow, a lot at stake if you hadn't made it.
But it's fucking scary as well.
I guess in a good way sometimes.
So sometimes I'm just protecting, and then I just... when I know I can't, and then I just go. I'm quite much like that, yeah.
Interesting. And then you talk about how, okay, that was a focus on stage, which obviously is part of the craft, but you start to hint that being an actor now is so much more.
Yeah.
And it's so much more. I mean, actors taking responsibility for creating their own content, writing their own stuff. Are you in that path at all?
I think it's going to come.
Okay, yeah.
Because there's a lot of stories that I want to tell. But right now, in this moment, I've been quite blessed working with like really great productions right now. Advokaten was my first TV show, and then
wow, what a place to start!
Yeah, and then I was working again on another TV show. Did a very small part just to be part of. I was working. I did a movie called Easy Money. It's Number Cash.
Yes,
and so I got the opportunity to work with Jens Jonsson again. In another show, and now I'm working on another TV show again in England. So,
So the career is opening up. You are having a moment. It's really interesting to sort of do a dive into your career. It seems that you came out of nowhere, but you tell us you put your time in at theater, at theater school.
Yeah, so it was a lot of like I've been doing this for such a long time, but I've been taking everything quite slowly. And I did my first feature film, 2011.
A happy end.
Happy end.
How did that come about? How do you move from the theater to your first feature film and not so tiny a role either? I mean, you're part of a big ensemble there.
Yeah, it is really great actors. And Björn Runge is a great director as well. So, but it was quite natural because I've been looking at movies. Movies for me was something really intimate. And when I was younger, I was watching like Kids and Harmony Korine and that kind of movies. Mm-hmm. And that made me feel quite they were someone that was looking at us as kids in a way that we actually were. We were quite disgusting and ugly creatures as well. We are not just cute. Yeah. And that was the thing that was like...
We're moving from John Hughes to something a little bit more real.
Yeah, exactly. And then after a while, I started to look at like Gina Rowland and Killing of a Chinese Bookie and all those kinds of... And I've been interested in movie making, like the photography, the whole thing. And that also thing with Kinski and, you know, the Kinski spin, the turn and, you know, that kind of thing. So
you're going to be directing. I see it.
And Sofia Coppola, you know that. Yeah.
But that interest and sort of that taste doesn't guarantee that you're going to end up in those kind of productions. I mean, how does it happen? Is that just luck that you get into something like Happy End?
Not just luck, but I must say, I think everything happens, and you know, sometimes you have a flow, and you come in the right time, because Björn was searching for Catherine, my character, and he was like looking at so many other actresses. And then I was actually just writing him an email and said that I loved some of his work and that I would like to meet him and, you know, in the future.
And the rest is history.
And he said, he came back to me straight away and said, I'm actually casting for my next feature film right now. Can you meet me in the morning the next day at 8 o'clock? And I did, and I got the part.
So the lesson is reach out. Don't be afraid.
No. Right. I think I'm quite scared doing that as well. I'm quite reserved in a way and quite shy. But sometimes when, you know, just do it instead of like think too much.
Yeah, and that was the timing obviously was right for you.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. That's a really interesting part. I mean, it's not an easy character. That woman is going through a lot there. Mm. And was that emotionally difficult to play? Was that easy to fall into that kind of a role?
I think those kinds of characters has come to me quite easily. I don't know what it tells about me, but of course it's quite tough to do those kinds of like portraits, but it's somewhere, in a way I'm just, I guess I'm very interested in the ugly sides in us.
There's some darkness in your character, Sarah, as well.
Yeah.
Let me ask, when you're doing that's your first film production, you're part of it, you're obviously interested in the craftsmanship of filmmaking. Mm. Did you see the film that came out of it when you were doing it? Did you realize that was going to be the result, or were you surprised by the final result?
About Happy End?
Yeah.
I was quite surprised. Because it's also like the process when you're working, you're doing so much and you are in the now, and then you're not really thinking about the results. Mm. Of course, it's like you have your way to work with the camera, and you have the space, and you do all that kind of thing. So you can, in a way, control
the scene
and stuff, but still I'm just let everything go. So I didn't even realize what it was going to come out. And I find it really difficult to watch films. And I thought, okay, this was the last film, my first and my last, because I was so bad.
Oh, no. Are you critical of yourself and everything that you do?
I think I am.
Mm.
And it's such a struggle.
What is it with great performers who can't watch themselves? We all love your work, and you tell us, "Oh, I can't be bothered." I guess there's you have such an investment in it. For us,
it,
we come just getting
and then,
everything,
and then also like to watch it, and then you see, oh fuck, why did I take that choice? Why did I do that? I could have done, you know, I could have. And then I also always think when I'm playing a character, I always think that I look completely different. Like that I have different kind of features, and you know, so.
Isn't that a great trait for an actress? So you have that success, you get great reviews for that. People are tagging you as the next big thing already coming out of Happy End. Does that change your life?
Of course, for me, Happy End was a was a beginning of something new in my life. And I'm so happy that was my first feature. But then, of course, like, to work with films, you never know what's going to happen. And I had times where I didn't do that much. And I've been holding myself up on the side a bit.
And that's by choice? You're not seeing anything that's interesting for you? So
yeah. But then, of course, everything is not, like, sometimes you think certain kind of roles or genres is not really the thing you think you like. But then suddenly you, if you're just thinking, you just miss a lot, you know?
Yeah, and I guess it depends also on who is doing it as well.
That's the thing. Who is doing it? What's the story? Is the script good? And also, yeah, who's doing it? And yeah, and that includes the actors and directors and DOPs and, you know, all that kind of things. And
across the board, yeah. So you move from Happy End to the Snabba Cash franchise.
Yes.
What was that experience like?
That was something new as well. And I wasn't really, I thought, like, okay, that genre, like, Snabba Cash, I'm not, you know, I don't really know.
Gangsters.
Yeah, gangsters. And, of course, like, I was... I think everybody loved Coppola's The Godfather.
Sure.
And I saw that one and it was just, I loved it. And I was so in love with Michael. but I haven't been, so I didn't think that I was a person that liked to do stunts and be hard and fight and do those kinds of things. But it was, I enjoyed it a lot. And it was some kind of, I'm happy that I was part of that phenomenon that Snabba Cash actually was.
And is that something that led you back to Advokaten, the fact that you'd work on that project, or are they completely unrelated? I'm just thinking, since Jens Lapidus is behind both.
Yeah, exactly. That was the thing that I was, because I didn't know when I was reading the script, the Advokaten, I didn't know that Jens was involved. And I was reading it and suddenly I was there again. It's like, I need to read more and I want to do this. And then after a while, because I didn't think that this was something that I, you know, but it was so good. And then I heard, yeah, Jens is behind this as well. So I guess there's something with him and
style. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's putting his mark on Scandi Nordic noir.
Yeah.
His hands are all over this.
And it's also interesting, his eye on how he can see people from the good and bad side, and he just brush away, you know, the borders, and it just melts together.
I also like the way he does dialogue. I think it just sounds so real. There's something going on. He's
got
an ear for something going
definitely
on out there.
Yeah.
And so we know that you're the co-star of Advokaten, and we certainly know that you can carry a TV show because you carried a film, The Girl Queen. I just finished watching this. What a tremendous performance. Oh, my gosh. I have a million questions about this.
Yeah.
My regular question, how do you come to that? I realized that it was in pre-production for a long time.
It was.
Different names were attached to it.
It was.
And a matter of timing? Or did you write that email to the director saying, hey,
actually,
I'd like to meet you?
This is because Happy End. Mm-hmm. Because Mika and Aki Kaurismäki watched the film and then they said, oh, we want to look at her. And they sent me the script. And I went in for a meeting, and it was like a lot of producers from a lot of countries. And me and Mika were sitting for 4 hours talking about Queen Christina as a person and a lot of stuff. And then suddenly he said, thank you. Let's keep in touch. Maybe we can go for a coffee tomorrow or something like that. And then he called me up and said, oh, sorry, I can't go for a coffee. The producer can't go either for a coffee. And I was like, okay, but can you go for a drink tonight? And the drink was a dinner. And I went to the dinner, I was sitting there, and we were talking. We had a really nice time. And then Anna Stratton from Canada, one of the main producers, she said, Malin, you know that you are Christina now, right?
I guess you didn't.
I didn't.
So there's no ceremonial moment. You're part of the production.
Yeah, exactly.
You say you sat and talked about Christina. His vision for Christina, or had you done a little research on Christina?
I knew a lot. Like, my middle name is actually Christina after her. So that's the thing. But then also I saw Greta Garbo was one of my biggest idols when I was a kid.
She did a version of it back in the 30s?
Yeah, 33.
There are rumors that Your Majesty is planning a foreign marriage.
They're baseless.
But Your Majesty, you cannot die an old maid.
I have no intention to, Chancellor. I shall die a bachelor.
And she did this film. It wasn't the best version of it, but she was great. She was, you know, she was remarkable then, and you know, did something that was quite unusual. And but still, she was also writing about it. It was like, oh fuck, now we're doing something that is so interesting about an amazingly interesting human being, and then still it's just a fucking love story between a man and a woman.
That's not doing justice to her story. No.
Yeah, so I knew about her, but then I was also reading about her, but then I thought I knew a lot, but when I started to read for real and I went to the Vatican and everything,
oh, wow. I was
like, okay, now I'm lost, because this woman is...
There's so much in that character, yeah.
It's so much.
Yeah, because it's not like you can go hang out with royalty from the mid-1600s to get a little feel for what about.
No, but she was also, she was breaking all the rules, creating something new, had great ideas, wanted to educate the people, wanted to, you know, she had so much things in her. And also, like, in her diary, she's writing about, sometimes it's just like she's something that is sent from God to rule the world. And sometimes she just says she hates herself so badly. So it's just like...
this pendulum.
Yeah, but that made it also more difficult for me to make this film, because it's just a limited, you know, we had the story and we just wanted to give the audience a key, but still I just wanted...
But there's so much going on. I mean, the Cultural Revolution. Is it truly historic fact? I mean, did she correspond with Descartes like that?
She did, and she was wild.
There's the sort of her personal coming of age, sort of having been raised in a princely manner, and she has to go through that, and then the history of what's going on in the world, and her decision that she's going to make peace for the benefit of her people, and she wants to move her world forward in time so aggressively. It's an amazing performance, I have to say.
Thank you very much.
There's so many different queens that I see over the course of that film. I was blown away, I just have to say.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Easy stuff. And I recommend it for anyone out there, if you haven't seen it, The Girl Queen. Go find
that
right
now.
The Girl King. How can I miss that? Of course, The Girl King. There you go. But let's move on to why you're here, unless you have anything else you want to talk about before we get into Advocaten.
I can sit and talk to you for a long time. No, I don't. Yeah, that's some of the things I've done.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we could IMDb bingo all day, but...
No, not really.
If we talk about Advocaten a little bit, for people who don't know, it's the creators of Snabbacash, the guys from Bruin are behind it, so you... have sort of a dream team coming together already, so I guess expectations are high. When you read the script, you say something about it resonated with you.
Yeah.
Why do you decide to jump in on this? You have a risk here. I mean, you're the co-star. This is your project.
I could not do it. You know, also Sarah as a character.
Can we tell people a little bit about, I guess, the backstory? Sarah and her brother, who have been estranged since childhood, had a moment growing up where their parents are executed basically in front of them. And now as adults, they come back together.
20 years later.
20 years later. And particularly Sarah, your character is driven with this focus to find out who is responsible and avenge your parents' death. Is that a short synopsis?
Perfect.
I've seen the first four episodes. So
That's actually more than I've been seeing.
Okay. Again, don't watch your own stuff.
but I'm going to do it.
It's absolutely worth watching.
Yeah. No, but I've been seeing some of it and it looks really good, I must say. Hey, brorsan.
Hey, what are you doing? Shasha. Okay.
Du har inte hört av dig till mig på ett halvår.
Nej.
Säg inte att du har haft för mycket på jobbet. Det där är... Du hörde mitt meddelande?
Ja. Liams födelsedagsfest.
Lars Möller bor i Thailand. Han är bara i Danmark några veckor om året. Det är därför jag inte har hittat honom. Men jag träffade honom idag. Lars Möller var inte första polisen på plats efter explosionen. Han var ju bara aspirant då, men han minns att en annan polis var där när han kom till platsen efter explosionen. Och Möller skrev in det i sin rapport och den rapporten är borta. Den finns inte. Och någon har gjort sig omakt att stryka den här andra polisen, Jarno och Markon, i rapporten. Varför?
Hur mår du?
Vadå hur mår?
Hur mår du? Du har gjort så här hela ditt liv. Du börjar gräva i det här när du mår skit. Eller så mår du skit av att du gräver i
Frank,
det. Spelar ingen roll.
Frank, rapporten om mordet på våra föräldrar har förfalskats. Poliskommissarie Jarno Markon, han jobbar fortfarande i kåren i Köpenhamn. Och jag tänker att jag ska åka dit ikväll.
Okay.
Du, kan inte du följa med? Du, Frank, vi har aldrig haft ett så här starkt spår. Frank!
But, yeah, so Sarah... And Frank, they also got not enough with the trauma, not having any parents anymore. They also got split to different kind of homes. And Sarah works as a how do you say drug cop? No, how do you say in that like a
drugged
police?
Cop?
Exactly. No, but so she also
she's a narcotics cop who has her own
addiction.
Demons. Yeah.
And demons, definitely. So, and it's also, the thing is, I think she just wanna, have something that it, have a life that is peaceful and warm and happy.
That's her dissension into drugs to find that.
Do you know what I think it is? It's the big, dark hole inside her. That she can't, you know, handle. And I think she needs to take drugs just to keep herself normal.
I see, but this character who's leaning 100 miles an hour in the chase.
Yeah.
And then every now and then she has to be reminded.
Obsessed.
Yeah, she's you're a mother too. Yeah. Oh no, that scene in the car when she's chasing the
But she's extremely dedicated, and still, even though she have her demons, she just need to do this and also find a way and also take Frank into it.
I think the balance of, she has different elements to her character. Like I say, I see her, suddenly she's the protective mother after sort of being this laser focus, I'm solving this crime cop type person. And then she's this sort of helpless drug addict.
Yeah.
And she's fearless though. When she gets closer and closer, she's the one who goes, okay, you see something's going on behind the door. She's the one who opens the door and goes in. And she's trying to drag Frank, who's much more careful. And he's going through a different transition as a character.
Definitely.
What's it like working with Alexander?
It's great. I really enjoy it. We had a casting together as well. And, that was so much fun. I don't even, you know, I can find it quite difficult to do casting sometimes. But it's when you're just playing together and you just pick up each other's things and you're just there, that's lovely. And he's also like a really, he has so much great positive energy. And it's I really enjoy working with him, yeah.
I tell you, I'm very pleasantly surprised with the show. When I heard the title, I expected, okay, every week we're going to have a new case and we're going to learn this social issue. And I didn't expect so it was going to be so heavy and dark and brutal at times. There's a lot going on there. And the fine world of the legal profession and sort of the how close that filters out this very dark world. Mm. And seeing those two come together is a nice part of the story.
Oh, yeah. But it's like, it's a lot of, it's a lot of action going on, but then still that the relationship between these two siblings that just tries to come together. And it's like, so it's a lot of stuff
There's
going on.
Levels, all different kinds of levels of relationships. Alexander's character has got his challenges as he goes through the transition. I like the way it's sort of set across the bridge and that there's that mixture of Denmark and...
Do you know what? I love that too. It's so great. And to be able to work with this great Danish actors as well.
Is it unfair that they're cast as the bad guys?
Yeah, maybe it is. But... the bad guys is also quite nice to play.
Yeah, I would
because
imagine.
Because the bad guys also have something that is good. And that's interesting.
Yeah, that Voldman character looks like it's going to evolve into something.
Oh, yeah.
So suddenly there's a little humanity. Am I supposed to feel for him? Wait a minute.
Exactly. But that's also an interesting thing with us as humans. Sometimes we take really, really bad decisions and like... what is really bad and what's good? You know, that kind of thing is also...
how do we incorporate our imperfections and how do we deal with each other's imperfections?
Exactly.
It's challenging.
Yeah.
Well, I would say congratulations to you on Advokaten. I've enjoyed those first four episodes. I want to know, before we finish here, you've been named sort of the next big thing. You won the award for the best new thing at... the Stockholm Film Festival a few years ago. How does it feel to have that title on you? Does it give you pressure? Is it a happy thing?
You know, I get honored, of course.
Nice.
But still, I love what I'm doing and I'm so happy that people are appreciating it. But still, I'm just like, I don't really look at myself in that way.
The work is the work and people talking about the work is something completely different, I guess. But hopefully it has some meaning that you get the feedback that people like what you're doing.
Yeah, put it there in my heart. That's lovely.
What's coming up for you?
Right now, I just arrived from the UK. I've been shooting in Cardiff in Wales now since September. We are going around a bit between Oxford and Wales and Venice.
Sounds like a terrible life.
It's so terrible. Oh, God.
What is that project?
It's a show that called Discovery of Witches that is based on three books that Deborah Harkness has been writing. And it's about vampires and witches and demons in modern time.
Is it for television or for film?
It's for television.
Okay, cool. We'll be keeping our eyes out for that in the near future. If you had your choice and it was in your control, what would your next project be?
The first thing that just popped into my head was like I was in my hotel in Soho and they had like a press conference or some kind of sales conference of Paul Thomas Anderson's new movie, and that would be fucking amazing to work with him. No, I don't know, but
I'm sure he listens to the podcast. Paul Thomas?
No, and of course, you know, there's so many Sofia Coppola, and you know, I would love to do, but it's also, you know, it's a lot of things. I don't know. I get so shy when I'm gonna say
you don't dare.
I don't want to
jinx anything. You don't have to say it out loud. We'll just keep our eyes open for where you pop up. But everyone should tune in to Advokaten starting on Via Play this season. Be on TV3 later on, and hopefully season 2 will be coming. Based on what I've seen so far, it's really well performed. It's a thriller through and through. unexpected things happening, killing your darlings right and left. Great performances by Maulin and by Alexander and a bunch of others. A real nice cast across the board. So congratulations. Thank you so much for taking the time to come up here, Maulin.
Thank
we really appreciate
so
it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, you can go on with your life now.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Maulin for taking the time to join us. And thanks to you as well. It was a pleasure for me to get to know her a little bit. I hope you enjoyed listening in on our conversation. As always, the great Jose Fernandez Alameda is responsible for making this podcast sound so good. And once again, we'd like to thank the good people at I Like Radio for giving our podcast a home. We'll be back soon with a new episode of Stream Close-Up.